It's time for Product Genius with Tiffany Krumen.
Greetings and salutations, everybody. It is your slightly annoying co-host, Stephen Julian, here for the Oh, there they are. There they are. They never leave us, no matter how much we do horrible shows or how much we do great shows. Actually, they're all wonderful. That are thank you to our studio audience who got quiet very quickly, didn't
yes,
they, Tiffany?
Yes. We put our hand down and they
That's
stopped.
Right. The applause sign stopped. So they did. Hey, do you know the quote? I'll be right here.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about that movie and how it relates to inventors and entrepreneurs and how that movie has some similarities to some of the topics around being an inventor, an entrepreneur, product-based business and building your product-based business. That's why we're here. The show is called Product Genius with Tiffany Krumen. Welcome, Tiffany.
I kind of already feel like I had a show with Noah today because I talked so much about him on the last show.
We did, which I don't know where it'll launch in the order of stuff. So just know.
Yeah.
Noah
Should
is.
Should I be concerned?
No. It was wonderful. We said all great things.
A product that you've worked on. So
as Noah said when he came into the studio, oh, you must have talked to her because he saw the website up on my laptop. So Noah McNeely with Product Quick Start is here to join us. Noah, welcome again into the studio.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. We are excited. Because it's becoming legendary. And if it isn't, I'm going to make it legendary, which is our pre-show meetings and pre-show email chains that you and I and Tiffany share.
We should say you and him. I usually sit back and laugh.
You jumped into this one. And I told Noah before you walked back in the studio, I quickly got out of the way because I was like, I don't even know who's talking or what are they saying. And we've been enjoying talking about product development and product quick start in the context of movies.
Yes.
And and it's been entertained. I've been very entertained. I think our listeners are because they're still listening. And it's just having a little fun in talking about product development. And so we were discussing one and we're actually going to talk about that. And then Tiffany jumped into the email chain and said, I woke up at 2 a.m. last night and I had this. So
totally different idea.
Yeah, yeah. We're saving that because Noah in his usual gracious self was like, sure, we can talk about that. And then you responded, Tiffany, by saying, well, then you have to come up with a movie for it. It
was like, no. Noah told me I had to come up with a movie for it. And I was like, well, see, guess that's dead in the water because I can't think of it.
Yeah, I got out of the conversation. So, which also reminded me that early on in this conversation, I suggested another movie and got no response. So. We are, but
oh,
I.
Oh no! What was it? I forgot.
I suggested the Coneheads.
Oh boy!
Which is a flop of a movie, but a great SNL sketch, right?
Yeah, it's great SNL, but
and this
I don't
is a much better choice, right? This is a much better choice. So, what I love, we're talking about the movie E.T.,
which will be in museums and talked about for hundreds of years. The Coneheads, not so much.
Yeah. So E.T. is a movie that everyone has either seen or seen clips of or has heard referenced. And what I love is I was thinking just to start the show and I started it with I'll be right here, which is what we are. We're right here doing this show. It doesn't necessarily have like 10 famous quotes that everybody knows. E.T. phone home. Right. So it's a great movie and everybody's seen it, but
I don't like his feet. That's a famous one. Drew Barrymore referring to
yes,
E.T.
I don't like his feet. So there aren't.
That's not the theme of today's show.
No. And I'm a little self-conscious about my feet. So I'm glad that's not where we're going. Where we're going is we're obviously talking about aliens and we're talking about foreign concepts. We're talking about being out of place when it comes to developing your product and developing your product-based business. So that's my intro. Okay. Noah, what do you want to say?
well, thanks again for having me, and thanks for putting up with my love of movies. E.T. is one from my childhood that we watched with our kids recently, and it was a lot of fun. So what I was thinking is I have the conversation very frequently, that's a very difficult word to say frequently, with inventor entrepreneurs. And they come in and they say, I don't know anything about product development. I don't know anything about manufacturing. I had a conversation just Monday, 2 days ago, about hey, I've got this great idea, and I've talked to some college professors and this, that, and the other, and someone sent me to you because I don't know what I'm doing. And I think that relates.
Which is most people.
Yeah, which is a lot of people. And I think that relates to the theme today about E.T. the extraterrestrial was in a place he knew nothing about, and he didn't know who to trust. He didn't know who to turn to, and he didn't speak the language. And I think a lot of inventors find themselves in the same position.
And boy, is it a language. I mean, you know, every single thing in this industry has some sort of acronym. And I have people emailing me constantly. What does this mean? Someone, you know, even one of our Shark Tank companies got in the group recently, excuse me, and said, a buyer sent me this email. Can someone decipher this for me? And it had probably 15 different acronyms that were like, give us the MOQ and the blah, 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 and the, you know, and she was like, I don't know what half of these are. Can anybody break this down? And then they had all these guesses below, you know, I think this is this. And yeah, if you don't know that language, it can be very foreign and scary.
Yep. LOL.
Yeah.
So it sounds like this could be a topic that, first of all, might cover many shows.
We always say that.
I know.
And then you and I email back and forth. And then,
listen, well, I'm setting up the relaunch. I'm setting up the behind the scenes. Or,
behind the music.
Yeah, behind the... Unplugged. That's what I was thinking of. MTV's Unplugged. So we'll come back and do it acoustically. And my only comment of that was Tiffany said, you know, here's this one email with 15 different things. I'm sure there's 1,000 things. Mm-hmm. Dare I phrase it this way that, cause it's not, okay, what are the 3 things everybody needs to know? Mm-hmm. It's kind of more, is it more important that they have someone who can help them navigate it? Is it more important that they start to learn what the terminology is? Is it a combination of the two? What do you do when you're first faced with it?
Well, it's a combination of the
besides,
two.
Besides raise your neck up, scream really loud, and run into the closet, right?
Well, it's a combination of the two, and it really depends on what role you want to take in your business moving forward and long term. I mean, at the end of the day, we were just talking about engineers off air, and engineers do use a lot of acronyms. Most of those, you're not going to need to remember. And if an engineer is giving you... you know, all these, you know, it sounds like a foreign language to you, just slow them down and say, hey, explain that to me. You know, help me understand that. You don't need to know that long term necessarily unless you want to be in the development.
I always encourage inventors to learn it if they can, only because I found myself in so many scenarios where I felt not embarrassed, but stuck because somebody would say it and I didn't know. I was in the middle of a meeting. As much as they can pick up along the way, right, the better. But like you said, there's 2 different categories. There's the one of, you know, FOB where they're shipping something. They need to know that. And then, like you said, they may not need to know the back end of a CAD drawing, you know.
Right. That you don't need to know SAE stands for Standard American Engineering or whatever. I've even forgotten what it means because I don't care anymore.
Society of American Engineering.
So whatever it is, that's not that important to your business long term. But you may run into an engineer that tries to explain why you're using this screw versus that screw and uses those acronyms. And
when it pertains to your product, learn it. You know, like you said, if it's a certain kind of screw, maybe. If you're going to quote it again one day, you might want to know what's in it.
It's more important to understand the fundamentals of what is trying to be, what the engineer is trying to communicate to you, rather than understand the specifics of the acronym. So I had a conversation just yesterday about screws. I know we once joked about doing a show just about
your
screws.
Favorite screw. have the favorite.
Actually, it's in the category, but it was all about, do we use this kind of screw, that kind of screw? And the client was like, well, why don't we use these sheet metal screws? And I had to go in and explain, well, no, it's a plastic product. So we want to use these screws. They actually cut the thread in the plastic, and yada, yada, yada. At the end of the day, he doesn't need to remember that. He just needs to tell me, hey, make sure we use the right screws.
Yeah.
So is it better than to say that as, and again, the concept is especially first time inventors and entrepreneurs, people who are still navigating the waters, it's okay to ask questions. That's a big one, right? It's okay to say, whoa, hang on, explain this to me like I'm 6 years old or help me understand.
It's always appropriate to ask questions. I don't care if you've been doing this. I still ask questions. I've been doing this a long time. And sometimes people throw acronyms at me I don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
I got to disagree with Noah on this one thing.
Ooh.
And no, only because.
Where's the audience?
I think he comes from a place of a really solid, good engineer. And so he says, well, that man doesn't need to know about those screws because he needs to tell me and I'll take care of it because Noah will. But then there's so many that are dealing with people that aren't Noah. And if they don't find out what that screw is, they're literally on the other side of this trying to resource their product and they don't know what it's made up of. So, I mean, I kind of push people to try to learn as much, at least about their specific product of the, you know, components of it, so that they have that information in the future.
All right. Well, I think that leads a little bit into today's topic, but...
How so?
You had a pregnant pause there. Go
ahead. I was ready to jump in, and then you said it sounded like there was a nice segue, so I was going to let you take the segue. But
so one of the things in E.T. for me is trust and building trust. That's one of the main themes. I mean, it's if you watch the movie, which most people have, E.T. doesn't just go to Elliot's house and say, hey, help me get home. You know, that takes a while before they – and frankly, they never develop that language bond. It's other – science fiction stuff that happens, but it starts out with them becoming aware of each other. And Elliot, let's say Elliot in this position is your product developer, your expert, your engineer, whatever it is. And he has to start with E.T. bit by bit. You know, they give the Reese's pieces and E.T. eats them and then they get closer and closer. But that's a bond that develops over time. And the analogy in the product development space is start with these questions. Start building that rapport. Make sure that this, I don't care if it's a developer or you know, someone who's going to be handling your manufacturing or someone who's going to handle your logistics or whatever it is, you need to take the time to build that relationship as an entrepreneur. You don't want to just go in and start, you know, writing checks to the first, you know, on the first day you meet somebody. You need to really start developing that relationship, because that relationship is going to be really important. It's going to be very difficult to succeed if you're working with someone that doesn't like you, doesn't want to be working with you, or doesn't like your product or whatever it is.
And you're going to meet, I'm dealing with a lady right now, excuse me, who has someone working on technology for her. And they have not kept that trust and they have not kept that relationship open to where now she's in a place where it might not work out with this person. And she's going to be starting fresh on a very expensive job because they weren't able to get there. And I just think you get there with everybody. Yeah. You just do. You're trustworthy and you dive in.
Well, not,
so many people don't.
I don't get that. To actually, let me correct that. I do not get there.
Two disagreements in one.
We're gonna arm wrestle by the time it's over. I don't get there with everybody, but the people, there are certain people that I can't get there with,
right,
or they can't get there with me, and that's okay. But right. We need to recognize that early.
Yes,
and I think that there's a lot of people out there that will just happily, not happily, but they just approach development as a job. You know, you go hire an engineer or a product designer or a software programmer or whatever it is. And they may have no passion or interest in what you're trying to do, but it's like, hey, you're paying
Take
me,
your
so
money.
I'm going to do it. I try to avoid working on projects like that. Yep. Not to say I don't have my favorite projects, which I, you know, I end up thinking about even in my off time. And if you're one of my clients, I'm talking about yours. But if it's a product that I really just, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. Then I'm not going to pretend to like
Blow
it.
Blow smoke, yeah.
If I don't like you, I'm going to be nice and cordial and kind, but I'm not going to
have you over
pretend
for a baking
to be
contest.
Something that I'm not.
Yeah.
Not
so
like
the other way I wanted to ask that question, or based on what you just said, going back to the movie, E.T. and Elliot get connected, and they start building trust. There was another group of people who were trying to get to E.T. and
yes.
They were not about trust. So let's talk about the scientists and the big the big plastic tunnel they built up to Elliot's home and the FBI agents in the suit and ties.
Right.
So they exist in the world of product development, and you've talked about it
right. Pretty
openly.
Yeah. So I look at that group of characters kind of two ways. It was really representing two elements in the product development space. And I would say that one of them actually is a very good person. I don't know what his name is, but the head scientist, he's actually, I think he has a heart very similar in the movie to Elliot's, and he wants E.T. to thrive and this, that, and the other, but he's not in charge. He's surrounded by the government and, like you said, the FBI and whoever else. And at the end of the day, even if E.T. had come to him and he was trying to help E.T. get home, he has people around him that would probably have prevented that, because they want to study E.T. They want to they want to extract value mm-hmm. from E.T. for themselves. So in the product development space, I kind of see two groups that represents. A, it could be just big companies that are out to try to, you know, take your idea, maybe give you a minimal licensing fee, or maybe you go and present to them and you're not protected and mm-hmm. they take your idea anyway. There are a lot, now don't hear me wrong, there are a lot of good companies out there mm-hmm. that you can go and present confidently with, but they're not all like that. The other side that I view that group as is really the large product development firm. And some of you who've listened to this show know that I used to run a firm right. like that, you know, over the course of 15 years, just less than 15 years, I had probably 100 different people working for me at one point or another. We had 40 people at a time for a few years. That company was really geared well towards servicing the needs of big companies. Right. So when an inventor or small company or startup comes in the door, yes, there are people on my staff. One of them wanted to help them and do everything we could for them. But at the same time, we got this big machine to feed. So right. we've also got to extract value out mm-hmm. of that entrepreneur. That's kind of one of the reasons I started Product Quick Start was I really didn't like working that way.
And that was Slingshot, right?
Oh, well, yeah.
Was that the name of it?
It was, yeah. But I was trying not to.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, sorry.
You know, they're still out there. We're still friends.
No, but I don't think somebody would choose that over working with someone like you. I mean, I personally wouldn't. It is the bigger company that serves the bigger guys. So.
Right. And we're still friends and we still send each other yeah. business. Sometimes people call me that are a better fit for them. And sometimes entrepreneurs call them and they get what I do. So they send them my way.
They're both looking at me. You know, I'm not the only one that can ask questions, but let me do this. I'm going to circle back
Stop
for just a
playing
second.
Playing Castle Crush on your phone.
Actually, I was looking to see the character's name of the kind scientist. I think it was Keyes. I think it was Dr. Keyes, played by Peter Coyote. I'm not sure.
Well, Peter Coyote is correct, but in my preparatory work for this call, he's never actually named Keyes. They call him that because he carries a keychain around.
Got it. And
kind of when they talk about the movie.
Look at you. Now, did you know that and we're holding it, or oh, did no. my well, my knew- reference now pull that up?
I knew that and... But only wanted to talk about it after your reference.
Wow. That is, you are holding.
Believe it or not, I do research for these shows.
That was fantastic. Well done. I don't, as is incredibly obvious by the pregnant pause. So I was going to ask this, going back a little bit, we talked about, you said, ask as many questions. Don't be scared to ask questions. There's a right and a wrong way to ask questions, I think. And that could be another topic.
And asking those questions is part of that building trust process.
Absolutely. Because how the person responds and how much information they give you, or do they look like they're irritated that you're asking
it's
questions?
It's not just that your engineer is giving you Reese's Pieces.
No, that's...
That helps.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Reese's Pieces. Anyway. But Tiffany, I was going to say, you were kind of saying, hey, you know, want to learn all I can, or, you know, let's get into it and kind of know what's what. And if I don't understand it, maybe I need to learn about it. Where does someone go? What are some good resources where someone can learn other than asking questions of the person doing your project? Because we can't go back and get an engineering degree. You know, we're not, if we could develop it ourselves, we would develop it ourselves. So where do I go to get, rather than, oh, I'm going to go to the internet. I'm going to go to Wikipedia. I'm going to go to engineering RS.
No, I mean, you can Google a lot of that. You know, you can do a simple Google search to know what some of the acronyms are, but NOAA's website, Product Quick Start, has a ton of information. There's that courses that you can find. I do a small course on my website. So, I mean, so those are two places to start, right. But there are many and countless, you know, articles that you can read to really understand these things.
And again, if you go to those sites and you find something that's educational, this might be someone who is trustworthy that you can potentially, right? It's at least a good for.
Yes, yes, no one. Yes,
yeah,
no one, maybe.
Sadly, there's some big guys with big names right. that do give, quote unquote, free information that are just basically trying to loop you into other things. So, so be leery about what you spend money on, but there's tons of free resources that you can learn.
And there's a lot of information out there. Some of it's good, some of it's wrong. You know, it's mm-hmm. just like with anything else on the internet, you have to be careful. You and I kind of disagreed earlier about something. I think I want to add more meat to that disagreement. I don't mind anyone asking questions, and I'm happy to explain things. I think the difference there is I don't necessarily need my clients to remember and understand everything on a minutia level of detail. I think one of the things to be careful of on the trust standpoint is if you're working with someone that really doesn't like to answer questions or gets annoyed by your questions, mm-hmm. that could be a red flag.
Right. And I get your side that you don't want someone asking so many questions that you can't get through the actual process. I don't want you constantly, you know, they don't want to be chipping away at what you're doing. It's like, okay, this is the right screw. Trust you with that and go.
Right. So on the screw situation, you know, I have a client. He's fantastic. He's a lot of fun, actually. I like him a lot. So he went to the hardware store himself. So, hey, can we use this screw? And I'm like, okay, well, here's the reasons why not, and yada, yada, yada. I don't mind him doing that, but at the same time, I have to be careful that that doesn't become a hindrance to moving the project forward. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so we
I have
to handle that delicately. We did something like that together. So a product that we developed that we're launching under Mom Genius, we had one little part feature of it that wasn't working, and I had an idea on just a rubber band, and I wasn't able to source it. You were, but I think that's great when you have that open relationship. You can say, hey, what about this? What if we try this?
And it goes back to just as the entrepreneur, as the inventor, you know what you know. You know what you want your product to do. And sometimes you just come to me and say, hey, could we just use a rubber band? Maybe that's not the right solution, but it would inspire me to say, no, mm-hmm. but they have these little rubber O-rings mm-hmm. with the right compressibility that we could use.
So may or may not have been used on our product.
I can leverage my knowledge with what you're trying to accomplish. Right. And that's really the key to a good relationship in many cases.
I don't know
what you're trying to accomplish as an entrepreneur unless you tell me. Mm. And sometimes you don't know to tell me until we get to a point where, you know, I have to ask the right question or I have to put something in front of you and you're like, yeah, well, I don't know. It's too tight. It's too loose. It's too purple. Whatever. Well, then here's how we can move forward.
Do you find some people just ask endless questions? I mean, that's all it is they're just wanting.
Aside from my 8-year-old?
Yeah. Like you're 8-year-old, basically. Or are they more too trusting, I guess?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess there are some people that would. But I try to be very thorough in my answers. Sometimes I'm so thorough that people
regret
asking the question.
And they might learn, boy, don't ask that question unless I really want a full answer.
Yeah.
So let me shift us to another part of the movie that you thought was very relevant to inventors and entrepreneurs. And that is when E.T. builds his machine with the speak and spell and the little using the umbrella as a satellite dish. And so that's as someone who develops products, that's kind of special to you, right?
Yeah,
that's a cool scene.
Yeah, I love that because that reminds me of garage prototypes the inventors make. And I have this conversation frequently. Someone comes in and they're like, they're almost ashamed of what they built because, mm-hmm. you know, it's made out of, not a speak and spell, but it's made out of stuff they took off of other products and it's ugly and it's wood. And the first thing I say, this is fantastic because
I agree.
We don't need it to be pretty yet. I mean, you're just trying to communicate the idea. And I think that's something that, you know, if you watch the E.T. movie, he does. He takes the speak and spell apart, which is like for
speakers and whatnot.
Any young people out there, it's before people had tablets. This is how little kids mm-hmm. learn to read with a very simple computer. He takes it apart. He uses an umbrella, tinfoil. He actually even powers the thing by tying it to a tree limb. And every time the wind blows, the tree limb moves. And so those are great, you know, innovations that if you were going to turn that into a real product, it wouldn't look like that in the end, but it proves all the theories out. And that's really key early on. And it does it cheap. I mean, basically spare parts.
I was just talking about this on LinkedIn a few days ago. Actually, I was comparing the difference between the people who have never taken the leap to launching a product and those who have done these garage prototypes. And how really sometimes that's all it takes is mm-hmm. that first step. All the times that's all it takes is you taking that first step and going, okay, should I bring this to life? You know, what does it look like? Does it work? And then there's so many people that are almost embarrassed, like you said, to look stupid and create the first one. And then they see their idea on the shelf, you know, 2 years later.
I find in really what I would say is an order of magnitude difference in ability to succeed. And likelihood to succeed, if an inventor comes to the table and they've taken it as far as they can with whatever they have. You know, it might be made out of popsicle sticks.
Yep.
Even if they get to the point where it's like, I can't go any further without you, doing something for me, building a circuit board or building, you know, doing that's fine. They've at least taken it as far as they can. I find that those entrepreneurs tend to be more successful
I agree.
Than the ones that just come to the table with, hey, here's my idea, and they just want to talk about it.
I don't think they've lost enough sleep at that point. If they've just come up with that idea and they haven't really executed, they haven't been up at night thinking about this product, which means it's probably not a good idea, right? The ones that I have stuck with are the ones I constantly think
about. You've
got
an issue with being up in the middle of the night.
I do. I wake up, and then after I'm awake, the ideas start rolling.
I don't know if everybody has to do that.
Well, one of the reasons, just practically, that we run into problems there is if they come in and they just want to talk about their idea, and then they want me to do the garage prototyping. I can do that, and I'm happy to do that, but that's paying me for a lot of hours that they could have done on their own, and then they can't afford to carry the project all the way through.
And they wouldn't have just done product development at that point in the prototype. They would have done market research. They would have done so many little free things themselves of me taking Ava in the beginning when it was a sponge, you know, and using it on Gibby and actually seeing, does this work, that they could do for free.
Yeah,
you know, that's
absolutely
what's discouraging about it.
So,
yes.
I was going to say, what? Every time you start to talk, I start
You
talking.
Jump in. Yeah, it's your show. You're the genius.
This is Tiffany's show.
Yeah, yeah.
You're happy to be here.
Yeah, that's right.
So one other theme. You know, we've talked about kind of E.T. as
the adventure. You really are taking the co-host job. You're going to now set up the theme and answer the theme yourself. Are you setting up this theme and I'm supposed to comment on it? No,
you,
I'm just
you know, the problem is
I had
we're now in a studio that's 35 minutes from my office, so I have all this time to think to get here. We used to have a studio that was 4 minutes from my office, and I couldn't think of anything.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Walk over, yeah.
Dang it. We need to go back to the other studio. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
The third theme, you know, we've talked about E.T. as the inventor.
Yes.
If we look at Elliot as the inventor and E.T. as the invention, I know it's a weird way to go, but the only comment I would make about this is think about how the people around Elliot, around his sphere, first started interacting there. First, they were, you know, they didn't understand it. They didn't believe
negative,
him.
Negative,
yeah. You know, okay.
It's like every invention, yeah.
You know, like Gertie, his little sister, screamed when she saw E.T. for the first time.
Right.
Michael, his older brother, you know, picked on him and et cetera. Over time, they warmed up to it. You know, it became very accepting of it. But I think inventors sometimes might face this with their own colleagues and families. Yep. Like, you know, you've got this idea you believe in, and your colleagues and your family, some of them might be like, I don't know, dude, this sounds like you're going to spend a lot of time and money on this. Or, you know, maybe your spouse goes all the way to screaming about it, like Gertie did. So the only lesson there, I would say, or the lesson I draw out of that, maybe not the only one, but the lesson I draw out of that is for the inventor entrepreneur, expect you might get some of these responses from your circle of family and friends. Mm-hmm. Just understand it's normal and natural. You're turning the world upside down, potentially, or at least turning your world upside down. So be prepared for that. And then for those who are the family and friends, my message to them is, be patient with your inventor. Be patient with your entrepreneur.
Worse than that, though, I've seen kind of the opposite, where the family blows smoke up their butt and basically is like, oh, you've got this. It's great. You know, and they shouldn't have. And then they're already overinflated by the time they meet you. And you realize, oh, boy, I got to undo all this confidence in this product that you should not have.
So is the analogy there that that's Elliot's family and friends are just assuming that E.T. is an imaginary friend. So, oh, that's great, honey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
That's a good one. I like that. So I was going to kind of steer down the road of, there's also surrounding yourself with people who will take joy in seeing you succeed.
Yes.
Excuse me. I apologize. And the idea of, and you know, the FBI was out to get him, right? So of course they don't want to see him succeed. And but I, like you said, the family, once there has to be buy-in, right? There has to be some buy-in
eventually.
Or you're just, how much time and energy is wasted on trying to convince people or trying to get people on your side. And if they're never going to get on your side, then that's a whole nother discussion.
And maybe there's a reason they're not on your side. You know, and there's a lot of these ideas where you're hearing that from so many people because it,
maybe you need
might
to listen to them.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's worth it too.
Of course, some people are just jerks.
Yeah.
Too.
Maybe you got a lot of jerks in your circle,
that's true.
Right?
So I wanted to quickly have a little bit of fun here at the end. We've been having fun all along. So let me, since you took the third theme and introduced it, and did a better job than I did. Dang it.
I don't think anyone can do a better job than you.
No, thank you so much. Either. Oh, thank you. We did have a small conversation off air, and I bring this up absolutely with zero political stuff behind it. I think there's actually a lesson in the fact that the movie has a fairly famous scene that was reshot and then reshot again. And I think that actually kind of relates to the product development process.
I didn't know it was shot and then reshot again.
Well, and I don't want to get too deep into it, and I haven't done the full research, but the famous thing is the cops were holding shotguns in the original release of the movie, and as the kids fly over top of them, the bikes take off and E.T. makes them fly. Mm. There came a point in time in history where it was reshot where they're not holding guns, they're holding radios.
It,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not that they reshot it again, but they've gone back to the original in some screenings and some depending on where you look at it or whatever. I think sometimes there's a lesson there of sometimes we get overanalyze things, or sometimes we go we get so fine in what we're thinking and what we're yes. trying to do, we might get caught up on the completely wrong thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I could see how much money in the early 2000s they did this re-release. How much money did they spend? I don't know if it was CGI or what they did with sure. the guns mm-hmm. and the CB radios. How much money did they spend on that redo, and did it impact anyone's enjoyment of the movie one bit?
Right.
I think those are two questions that go together.
Very relevant to product development.
Absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a lot of clients that want to keep adding features, and the question becomes, how much money are we going to spend on that? And more importantly, in many cases, how many more months is it going to take to get mm-hmm. it to the market?
Right.
And what percentage of your market really is going to care?
We talked about it on the last episode with Trunk Trapper, how someone recommended that this person add a handle to their bag, mm-hmm. which was not a carrying bag. And she said, I got kind of fixated on that one person, that one customer, and then I realized I don't need a handle. So, yeah, I mean, we see that day in and day out in product development where people hear one opinion and then suddenly change, 12 features.
Sometimes it's the bad opinion that's the loudest. You have to recognize
that. Not sometimes, almost always.
So I think as I've sat here and listened and have never developed a product in my professional life, some fantastic advice, and everybody's development process, there's no real hard and fast rules. There's nothing that applies to every single situation. Right. You've given some very good general principles to go by. It is about building trust. It is about relationships. And that comes out of asking good questions. That comes out of listening and taking advice well, understanding when you've got someone who's saying something that I don't need to listen to that person. But even if I disagree with this person, I might need to listen to that. They're saying that in a good, so there's a lot of good general principles here.
It's hard to decipher, though, I can tell you. I mean, I think when we have these conversations, I think of specific people who are going through this right now. And, they thought they had a great engineer and they thought he was on their side, and then come to find out he's completely scamming them. So it can be challenging.
If you smell a rat at all, you might be wrong. But my message there is try to verify. Go to another source. Go to the internet. Does what they're saying even check out?
Right.
Get a second opinion. I mean, if someone told you you needed a heart transplant or heart surgery, you get a second opinion, right?
Of course.
Do the same thing here.
Not to change illustrations, but we've become such a one-click society. I remember when Seinfeld first had the joke about one-click on Amazon. He goes, this is what we've come to now, one-click. You want me to do more? You want me to do two-click? I don't have time to do two clicks. One-click. I wanted one-click, or I don't want
it.
I'm moving on, right? Uh-huh. And so we've become so, I need it now, and I gotta have it, and it's got to be done, and I need it last week. Mm-hmm. When it comes to developing your product, take the time to listen, take the time to research, take the time to figure out that the character Keys is named that because they were keys that he carried and he really didn't have a name in the movie, right? So there are times to take some time. This is important,
right?
And we always want it done as quickly as possible, but you want to do it right.
Yep. And if you don't learn that stuff, you're putting it in somebody else's hands and it's not going to end well.
Right. Would you drive across a bridge that someone built in a hurry?
Probably not. Mm-hmm. Probably not. Well, yeah.
Oh, boy.
You were going
to
go in.
You were about to go into World War II.
I was.
I could tell.
The island is on fire, and I have to.
If you're the Army, yes. But understood. They know how to build bridges in a hurry.
And they have
and,
things
and that
designed.
System was not developed in a hurry.
Oh, boy. Aha. Maybe so I should wrap the go. Show this time. I'm just kidding.
All right, so Tuesday nights on History Channel at 9 o'clock. Do you know how the History Channel doesn't even show history anymore? It's all Pawn Stars and Ancient Aliens and Curse of Oak Island. And
right. You mean Ancient Aliens isn't real history?
Oh, God.
The
only
food
you
that,
wish were
the
history.
Food that made us, though, is pretty good. Yes. Funny that I would like that show, right?
I like that show, too. Yeah.
Anyway. All right, so... Noah McNeely, product quick start for those people who need to get more trust in their product development. How do they get a hold of you?
The best way is our website, www.productquickstart.com. And we have a contact us form there. There's also an assessment form, which is great if you can fill that out, because that gives me a lot of information so that I can do my research before, yes. Before we schedule a call.
I love it. And Tiffany, you have, speaking of the research, speaking of the ways they can do some sweat equity ahead of time, what do they need to do at your website?
So I am consulting some now, but I'm trying to be a little more selective just to make sure I can help that particular person. Noah has sent me some fantastic product-based businesses that I've been working with. So just submit a form on there. Telling me a little bit about what you're working on, where you need help.
Website?
It's TiffanyCrumens.com.
Okay.
Just submit a contact form and I'll reach back out.
And there's a wonderful course. Talk about that.
So they're always pushing me to do these. So I've got a course if you don't need actual consulting right off the bat and you do want to learn more about what we just talked about, some of the acronyms, some of the things that might come up in this journey. I did kind of a wide picture course where you can see, you know, if you start out with a homemade prototype all the way up through licensing, what that journey might look like. And then you'll know, you know, for $200-something, okay, I do want to go down this path or no, not interested.
What's the price?
I think it's $249 right now. I can't keep up. I change it sometimes.
And if they put in Product Genius, what's the discount they get?
50%. No, I'm just kidding.
10% off at least.
Yeah, 10%.
And if they put in Slightly Annoying Co-host, you charge them twice.
Yeah, the website amount. Crashes. Yeah.
Oh, but a bumpsh. All right. So for Noah McNeely and for Tiffany Krumens, TiffanyKrumens.com, this is Stephen Julian. And for the easiest podcaster in the history of the world to work with, Jody Smith, our producer, we will say we're going to go phone home. I'll always be right here. Other quotes. We'll see you next time on Product Genius.